Welcome to Arkansas Cooks. This is your host, Mary Tweet, and I'm here to meet and eat with Arkansas cooks, and then I tell you all about it. Classic eateries abound in the Ozarks and the Arkansas River Valley. Kat Robinson is really doing her history. Don't go away, you're listening to Arkansas Cooks. Good afternoon, I'm Mary Tweet, and you are listening to Arkansas Cooks. Kat Robinson is really a historian. That's what she is, more than anything else. And she has really captured classic eateries in the northwest corner of Arkansas in her new book, A Classic Eateries of the Ozarks and the Arkansas River Valley. I was able to sit down with Kat, and last week you heard us talk about her ventures up in the Ozarks and the Arkansas River Valley. We get into a lot more detail this week as we talk about her new book. So here we go to find out more about Arkansas food history.
Donuts. They are. They are 10-inch donuts.
Wow.
And they're not special. They are there every single day. You also have, there's a picture in the color section of the cinnamon rolls from Calico County, which they believe they've served 7 million of these. They're served whenever you first come in, you sit down and you place your order, they bring you out hot cinnamon rolls instead of like hot bread where you get other places.
Oh my gosh.
And they are fabulous. Now, mind you, this around this time last year, Calico County had a fire in the kitchen. Place was closed down. The folks that run the restaurant made sure they continued to pay the wait staff and the kitchen crew the entire time it was closed. They have reopened, same menu. The community's come forward and brought in memorabilia to go on the walls to replace some of the memorabilia that was just it was just completely unsalvageable. It's still great. It's a wonderful place.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you went up, you were up in Fort Smith, you were up in Van Buren, you were up in Fayetteville, and then you came down as far as south as...
As Morrilton. Mm-hmm.
And you hit Feltner's Whataburger in Russellville.
I actually spent 4 years at Russellville at Arkansas Tech University.
You did not work there.
I did not work there.
Oh, okay.
I was not one of the people that worked there.
A lot of the people that go to school at Tech do work there.
But I did know old man Feltner, and he was a very wonderful guy. And whenever I was starting in radio back in 1991, I was trying to figure out a way to get people to listen to my show. And I thought, well, maybe I can do some giveaways. And I actually went to him and asked him, hey, could you help me out? And he just pulled out a stack of business cards and started flipping them over and writing on the back of them and says, just tell people that they need to call you to let you know that they're listening, and you give them one of these, and I will come and I will feed them. But more than that, the reason I went to him was my first couple weeks up at Arkansas Tech. I was a band student. I had my scholarships, but I was a poor college student. And one day I went over to Feltner's, knowing about the size of the French fries, and I ordered half of an order of French fries and just sat there and eating these. And I'm not sure I looked pitiful at the time. I'm homesick. This is my first time away from Little Rock in as far back as I could remember that I was living somewhere else. And he had come over to my table, and he's just like, you need a burger or something. I'm like, yes. And so he asked, well, what kind of burger do you want? And I told him, he says, oh, you want a sissy. And he had one of the girls make me up a sissy and bring it out. And then he gave me a card, and he says, next time you're hungry and you can't stand what's over in the cafeteria, you come over here and you show them this card, and they'll feed you. I wasn't the only one he did that with. He did that with generations.
Wow.
Of these folks. Now, if you didn't work at Feltner's Whataburger and you didn't get a card, well, you had to have passed through there on your way to a hog game.
Oh, yeah, millions of times.
Oh, my goodness. When he passed away a few years ago, from what I understand, it's the largest funeral that's ever been held in the city of Russellville. It was crazy because everyone had to come out and pay tribute.
Yeah, because he had done an amazing
he
job.
He really had.
Putting kids through school, feeding kids, like,
yes.
Exactly like you said.
And
exactly.
His family's still doing it. In fact, his daughter, Missy, is still managing the place along with her husband, Randy. And almost all of Mr. Feltner's grandkids had worked in that store.
Wow.
Of course, the three grandsons that did not actually work in the store had their own set of restaurants up in the Fayetteville area called Feltner Brothers. And they're making that same burger.
Wow.
After all these years.
Wow.
It's almost identical.
Well, you know, people will say, oh, we have a Whataburger. I said, you don't have a Feltner's Whataburger.
No, there's nothing quite like Feltner's Whataburger.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, you know, I really do think you're right about the history, and this is the classic eateries of the Ozarks and Arkansas River Valley, and I'm talking with Kat Robinson, and you know, this was not an easy, I mean, you had to do some research.
Oh, yes. I mean, I had spent the past 6 years collecting stories of different restaurants, but when I started out, I was just writing about the food. But as I went along, I discovered there was a history here that needed to be told, that needed to be shared. And sure, there's lots of folks that know about Feltner's Whataburger, but how many people know about the O'Rourke General Store up in little bitty O'Rourke, Arkansas, or the fact that it's the oldest general store in the state, or that they have great pie, and or that the couple that are running it right now have only owned it about a year and a half? They were lobbyists that met whenever they were on a press trip over to the former Soviet Republic, and they came back to Arkansas to get married, and she saw a little ad in the paper that said it was for sale and said, hey, why don't we buy a general store? And they did.
Wow.
And learn how to cook, and they're running it, and it's fabulous. It is a very popular spot for motorcycle enthusiasts. In fact, any temperate day, especially on the weekends, you're going to find lots of bikes outside, but it's a wonderful, friendly place. There's no cell service, but they offer free Wi-Fi so you can check in. And they make a good burger. They really do.
And it's on the front of your cover.
It's on the front cover.
O'Rourke Cafe.
And that's just one of those fantastic places that you just got to stop in at some point or another.
Now, you also have on your cover a guy at the corner with the is this candies?
These are chocolates. That gentleman is a man by the name of M.L. Greer, and he is the father of Arkansas chocolate.
The father of Arkansas chocolate. I'll be darned.
I kid you not. He started with 19th century recipes, making chocolate to sell alongside his father's produce up in the Fort Smith area. Well, he went and became a journeyman chocolatier and came back and created a candy store, basically. And today, the descendant of that candy store is Copper Kettle Candies up there in Van Buren, Arkansas, which is run by Tommy Greer.
I'll be darned.
Well, M.L. Greer had two sons. His other son is Martin Greer, or Dr. Martin Greer, who started off as an animator teaching in the high schools up there in the Fort Smith, Van Buren area. He went off and got his master's degree and his doctorate. He put himself into college, though, by making candies for Silver Dollar City.
Oh, wow. Still up in the Ozarks.
She still is. Well, he settled down after meeting his wife, who's... They went over to Tennessee for a while. They came back, and he started Martin Greer's Chocolates. Now, his chocolates are different because every candy and chocolate that he sells comes from recipes from the 19th century. So he's keeping that pretty simple, pretty pure. He's taught his son Uriah how to make these chocolates. Now, Uriah is the head chocolatier.
Wow. That's incredible. And then there's Paul's Bakery.
Paul's Bakery. That's in Van Buren. And Paul Lennon is... Well, bless his heart, was the guy who got up every morning and showed up at the store at 4 o'clock time to make the donuts. Now, he had been in the Army, and whenever he got out, he decided he wanted to be a pastry chef or make donuts the rest of his life, make cakes. And so he started his place up there, and it's been going over all these years. And even though he's had so many employees come through, he had always gotten up every single morning to make the donuts. He just passed away here a couple of years ago, but it's still going strong. And I tell you what, I had one of their Italian cream cakes for my birthday. Oh my gosh, wonderful.
Now you have a Majestic and a Pete's Place.
The Majestic is the one place I talk about in the book that's not actually itself a restaurant. It's the George's Majestic Lodge up there, George's Majestic Lounge up in Fayetteville. Didn't start a food revolution itself. It kind of influenced others around it. Now, mind you, it did sell the first delivery pizza in Fayetteville and probably in Northwest Arkansas. But it's done more to influence the restaurants around it to come in because you get all sorts of great musical acts that come into George's, and people want to be able to go get something to eat before they come to the show. Now, mind you, they do have a restaurant inside the lounge right now called Yazzetti's, but it's George's that's really the influencer there.
Right.
And then there's Pete's Place. And Pete's Place if you wanted to talk about a restaurant that had the oldest heritage in Fort Smith, it would be Repeat's Place. I know it sounds crazy. Pete's Place was one of those great local restaurants, and it served everything from the 1920s. Well, whenever Pete passed away, his family continued to run it up until the 90s. Then they decided, we're done. They closed it down. They sold off everything to another family who's reopened it as Repeat's Place. And it's a sports bar of all things.
Oh, wow.
But what you see on the front cover is what Pete's Place used to look like.
Wow. I tell you what, I do. So you've done the Ozarks and the Arkansas River Valley. Where's
yes.
your next exploit?
I'm working on a book on the Arkansas Delta because,
great.
Now mind you, Cindy Grisham has a book out, Arkansas Delta Food, and she fantastically covers rural food, home cooking. Well, now I'm going to go talk about the restaurants
great.
And about the food culture that started there, including the birth of the Arkansas Delta Tamale. And, of course, the famous Jones Barbecue Diner, the only James Beard Award-winning diner, restaurant, eatery of any sort in the state of Arkansas.
Yep.
I'll also be talking about, things like catfish and rice and the history there.
Right.
And I'll be covering what a little bit further than what people usually think of when they just think Delta. Because the idea of the Delta has been, oh, it's rural, there's a high level of poverty, it's down there by the Mississippi. But what I'm covering is pretty much the Mississippi River alluvial plain in Arkansas.
Right.
So it'll be everything that comes along a line along Highway 67 on the north side and just past Highway 65 south
mm-hmm.
of Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about everything from Pine Bluff to the east.
That's great.
A good marker.
That's great. And then you'll have left, you'll have Central Arkansas, you'll have Hot Springs.
And Southwest, yes.
And Southwest, yeah.
I'm hoping that this works out to be 4 books. But I have a fear about the Little Rock book, because Little Rock is the only place in the state where the culinary history still exists because of the newspaper war. You had the Arkansas Democrat and the Arkansas Gazette that competed for decades. And content, like it is on the internet today, content was king. So you had these two great papers that were trying to outdo each other, including by hiring great food writers. So you know about the brown bottle, and you know about the Shack Barbecue. And, of course, the full history of Jock and Suzanne's is pieced together along its pages. Of course, I have a great resource there. I've actually had interviews already with Paul Bash, who is the man who brought Jock and Suzanne's to Arkansas. That's going to be a harder book because I'm sure there's going to be people who will argue with me.
Sure, sure. And, you know, there is a rich history there with the Wortham Bank Building mm-hmm. and the first French restaurant. And, I mean, that whole history to me is so exciting. And now what has bled off is all the Capitol Hotel.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's been a whole another revolution.
See, Little Rock is actually going through a revolution is a good way to put it. It's another food generation, and it all started in 2007. That is another book.
I know. Well, just keep writing, Kat.
Oh,
we're going to keep going. I think it's fantastic.
Important to do, because what we have is a unique food culture that you can't find anywhere else. There are people who will swear up and down, Arkansas food is Southern, it's Southern, it's Southern. There's nothing unique here. But when you get down to the roots, when you get your feet in the mud of these farms out there and you realize this is different, we have a very different food culture. There are people who swear up and down that Arkansas's main contribution is rice, but we've only had rice here for 200 years.
Right.
We have so much more to offer than that. Now, of course, this book talks about the origin of fried pickles. It talks about the fried chicken and spaghetti. When we get to Delta, we'll talk about chocolate gravy and about duck and duck and duck. Because actually this time of year is really when everybody is all talking about duck. It's part of the culture.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a great event called Duck Gumbo that's coming up. It's part of the Wings Over the Prairie Festival that I'll be covering in that book. It's a cultural happening.
Yeah,
just
really
like the
is.
Coon Supper is.
Yeah, exactly.
And the political nature of what gets done over food in the Delta is very interesting.
Yeah.
And then the barbecue culture,
goodness.
Then
that's in a whole other book.
It could be a whole other book. I tell you what, you have so many different varieties of barbecue in that area, and there's reasons for why there's barbecue, and it goes much further than Memphis. So I'm really excited about celebrating that.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because when you talk about duck, I've had more. I'm not a huge duck fan. I like duck done really, really well. And so people say, oh, well, then you'll like mine. And I said, don't tell me. It's wrapped in bacon and it's in orange juice. Oh. You know, and they're like, yeah. Or, you know, it's wrapped in bacon and it's soaked in milk. Or it's wrapped in bacon and it's blah, blah, blah. So, you know, people are constantly telling, you know, they all have their own special duck.
The sad thing is I'm actually flipping through this book right now because I have to show a picture of the best duck I've ever had in my life. And it wasn't in a Delta. It's this right here.
Oh,
this
isn't that beautiful?
This was shot at the Grand Tavern in Eureka Springs.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Which there's a whole chapter that explains why I believe Eureka Springs is the birthplace of road food in the state of Arkansas. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a look at this gorgeous grapefruit and this beautiful duck, and it looks like cabbage,
and it's two preparations. The duck leg itself, which sticks up from this gorgeous plate, is stuffed with spinach and cheese, while the breast medallions around are in a beautiful blueberry jus. It is fantastic.
Oh, it looks gorgeous. And I don't think I've ever been to the Grand Tavern in Eureka, but
you
I'm
absolutely
have
must
to.
Have this experience. Tell Chef Dave I sent you.
Oh, good. Oh my gosh, this is so much fun. Really, it is. Now I've got to ask you, where's your favorite breakfast place?
Oh, no, see, that's hard.
In the Ozarks and the River Valley.
In the Ozarks. Well, we were talking about Eureka Springs. I love Local Flavor Cafe. Their Mexican scram is just about the best thing in the world. The scramble is peppers and cheese, and it's served up with avocado, and it's marvelous. But I can't say it's the only place that I like. There's so many great breakfast places. I like going down just in Eureka Springs down to the new deli down there, the Indian restaurant, and having the masala omelet, which is just die for. Or going down to Mud Street and getting a mud muffin, which is a muffin that's filled with vegetables and eggs and cheese and bean sprouts on a homemade English muffin. It's fabulous.
Oh, my goodness.
But if I was going to go to breakfast in, say, Springdale, I'd go to Susan's restaurant and I'd get myself a chili omelet. I know that sounds crazy, but a chili omelet, and it's fantastic. It really is. And, you know, in Fort Smith, I might go to Calico County, or I might go to Benson's Grill and get some sweet potato pancakes. And if I'm in Russellville, I'm going to go to the Old South and get myself some corned beef hash and eggs. It's, I mean, really, anywhere you go in the Ozarks, there's good food.
Yeah.
Because we tend to like good food here.
Yes, we do. Now, your last book was Arkansas Pies. This one's Arkansas classic eateries, and you're looking at classic eateries, you're looking at the historic part of eateries.
Yes.
Because somebody's going to say, well, that my favorite restaurant's not in there, but it's because it's not a classic.
Almost every restaurant that I'll be featuring in this series is 20 years or older, and I have to say almost, because there's one restaurant that will go in the Delta book that's not 20 years old. And that's the Parachute Inn up in Walnut Ridge. And that's because it's in a plane.
That's classic. That's classic.
But everything that you're going to find in this book is a restaurant that's been around for at least 20 years. The reason behind that, about half of restaurants that start in the state of Arkansas don't last 2 years. It's not something particular to Arkansas. It's anywhere.
It's a fickle business.
And
people
really
say, oh, I think I want to open a restaurant. I say, think about it long and hard.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've always had an interest in food. And when the Arkansas Culinary School opened up, there were a lot of my friends that said, why don't you just drop everything and go to culinary school? I'm like, no, because it's fun to me as a hobby. I would hate it if I had to cook all the time.
Amen, sister. I love to cook.
Yes.
But I don't want to do it for a living.
Absolutely.
And you know, someone said to me one day, oh, my gosh, I think my kid wants to go and become a cook, and I want him to do something that's a little bit more manly. And I was like, are you kidding me? It's like the roughest and toughest guys I know are chefs.
I know so many chefs because of this. I know a lot of the chefs that have made their way into being instructors at the culinary school. I know
they look like a football team.
Yeah,
they're huge.
You have to have stamina because you're getting up in the morning, and if you're a good chef, you're going out, you're choosing what you're going to serve, and you're managing, and you might be there till 10 o'clock or midnight. It's grueling. It's incredibly hard work, and hats off to everybody who's done it.
Amen. They are some of the hardest working people I know.
They certainly are. And, of course, you can't forget front of the house with the wait staff. I actually went to the Southern Foodways Alliance Symposium this year and learned so much about front of the house.
Oh my gosh.
I never thought about this. I thought, you know, there are places that you go where wait staff changes out every day. And then you have places, and a good one to note here in Arkansas is at the diner up in Cabot, where the wait staff has been there since the restaurant opened, and they're older ladies, and they get up every morning, and they sing sometimes poorly, and and they know their customers by name.
Exactly.
And it's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful lifestyle for them. It works for them. But it's some of the hardest work you'll ever do.
And they get the whole concept of service.
Yes. Yes,
they know what service is about.
There's so few people that really grasp that. It is a form of service to your fellow man.
Amen. It is.
It's
totally
wonderful.
Yeah, I think McLard's has had some of those waitresses have been there since they opened.
And I'm trying to remember desperately right now. I have her name written down. The lovely waitress that I had for years and years at McLard's. She just retired. Of course, the name escapes me at the moment. She had been there for 62, 63 years.
Yeah, isn't that,
years.
I know exactly who you were talking about.
Yes,
she's about
I
that
can see
tall.
Her, and she always had her hair in a bun.
Yes, yes.
And heaven
tiny.
Knows. Yes.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. And we would always go, I cannot believe she hasn't retired.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't for a long, long time. And they made great money.
Yes, and they're still making great money
yeah.
because they've diversified. I mean, it's hard to believe that McLard's Barbecue started off with a recipe for barbecue goat and sauce. I mean, seriously. It started off, the McLard family had owned this place called the West Side Court. It was a motor court hotel
right.
back in the 20s. And they had this guy whose name has been lost to history, who, whenever it came to check out after 2 weeks, it's like, I don't have enough money, but I do have a barbecue recipe. I'll give you the recipe for this barbecue sauce in exchange. And they said, okay. You would never hear that today, but they said, okay.
Isn't that crazy?
And they started using it, and they used it on goat. And this is another controversy I'm sure I'm going to be starting up because I'm going to address this in the Delta book. Arkansas barbecue. People say there's no such thing. Others will agree that we are the ones that put coleslaw on our barbecue first. I would venture to say that Arkansas's contribution has almost been lost, and we could reclaim it, and that is goat barbecue. Because you have places like McLard's, and you have places like Craig Brothers Barbecue in Duval's Bluff that started off with goat. It fell out of fashion, so they started serving more pig and more beef and more chicken. But there's something about barbecue goat that is just fantastic.
Does anybody still do it?
Well, I haven't found anyone who's selling it yet, but I'm trying to convince people to do it. We're just going to see.
Go back to our roots.
I think we need to. I really think there's a couple of individuals, and Grab is one of them. When we went down to shoot video down at McLard's, we both were trying. I was trying the beef. He was trying the pork there. And we both agreed, you know, it's a wonderful sauce, and it's great barbecue, but there's something that's missing. And I think that's what the missing link is that the sauce was developed originally for goat. Well, think about how many people come to Hot Springs and eat at McLard's Barbecue for it to be good enough for one of these two meats. Let's bring back the goat and see what happens there. Maybe we'll start a revolution.
I hope you can convince them to do that. That's hysterical. You know, and there's still a goat roast in Conway, isn't there? Or somewhere
mm-hmm.
there. Yeah, that's what I thought. So, well, who knows? I do think McLard's barbecue sauce is out of this world, but, you know, I live with Mr. Barbecue, and that's his favorite. It's his favorite restaurant ever. So, yeah. So.
And Arkansas barbecue sauces are all over the place. My favorite barbecue sauce in the state of Arkansas is at Old Post Road Barbecue up in Russellville, and they finally started selling the sauce.
Oh, wow.
So I can bring it home now instead of just stopping in on my way here or there.
Yeah.
Old Post is another one of the restaurants that's in the new book.
Oh, fantastic. So when will that come out? A year from now?
No.
It's in this book. It's the Ozarks and River Valley.
The Ozarks and River Valley book, because it goes down as far. You know, you have Russellville. I actually talk about the Potts Inn Tavern, which is probably the oldest restaurant building in the book. It used to be a tavern on the Butterfield Express, which was the postal route mm-hmm. that ran mm-hmm. out to the west. And, of course, it's long since been closed, but now it's a museum. I talk about Burnell Austin and the birthplace of the fried pickles in Atkins, and I talk about Atkinson's Blue Diamond Cafe in Morrilton, which is the birthplace of the Dandy Dog. It's also the place where you find Petty Jean Meats.
Now, what was the Dandy Dog?
The Dandy Dog is probably the best corn dog you've ever had in your life.
Oh, wow.
And okay. I highly suggest making it with a Petty Jean Red Wiener and some War Eagle Mill cornmeal. You get the combination together, you have an out-of-this-world dog.
I'll be darned. The Dandy Dog.
The Dandy Dog. And the recipes in the book.
Oh, now, do you have a lot of recipes in the book?
There's 20 recipes. After Arkansas Pie, people asked me straight out, well, why didn't you put more pie recipes? Well, to be honest, it was one of the last things I thought about whenever I was putting the book together in 30 days. So along the way, I was asking different restaurants for recipes, and there are 20 of them. There's two recipes for fried pickles, so maybe, you know, for 19 different items. But there's also recipes for the Uncle Roman pizza at Steffi's in Lavaca. There's
Squash casserole.
Squash casserole from Calico County. I was shocked that they let me have that recipe. It's fantastic.
Wow.
Potato pancakes from Emmy's German Restaurant's in there. Cathead biscuits and gravy from the O'Rourke General Store. And KJ's famous guacamole from KJ's Caribay up in Eureka Springs.
Wow.
So these are great recipes to try out. It's not a cookbook. It's a travelogue. But, hey, you've got a bonus of having these great recipes, too.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, you got to go out and get it. Classic Eateries of the Ozarks in the Arkansas River Valley. Kat Robinson, we cannot wait for the other three.
I will be doing my best to get them to you just as soon as I can.
Oh, fantastic. And you can pick this up
anywhere. I mean, Wordsworth Books or Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com.
Amazon, right.
It's all over the place. In fact, I was very surprised by the distribution how these books were available. In fact, I had a very unique experience here recently with one of my signings. I went to a signing at Barnes Noble in North Little Rock, and I got there, and they had the pie books, and I thought, well, okay, where's my new book? They'd already sold out for the day. So apparently there's an interest. I mean, I still signed pie books, and there was a couple that came back in who brought me the new book to sign. But, that was a unique new experience for me. I mean, if you're going to have an experience, that's the one to have, not the one where no one shows up.
There's no books, period.
Yeah, that's
true. We haven't gotten them yet. No, that's fantastic. Well, thanks, Kent Robinson, and it's Classic Eateries of the Ozarks in the Arkansas River Valley. This has been great fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're back. I'm Mary Tweed, and this is Arkansas Cooks. You can find out more about Kat Robinson and her book, Classic Eateries of the Ozarks and the Arkansas River Valley, at her website, classiceateries.com. You can also go to my website, arkansascooks.com, and if you're interested in writing me, you can do that at mary@arkansascooks.com. The stuff I get is always fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have today for Arkansas Cooks. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank Kat Robinson. Also, thanks to Travis Hill. He makes me sound so good. This is Mary Tweet reminding all you Arkansas cooks, life is way too short to eat bad food. So only eat good food and eat it with great people that you love. It'll taste so much better.